Second Nephi chapter 4. In the beginning of this chapter, Nephi says that the prophecies given in chapter 3 are great, therefore we should study them and take them serious. The idea that the Lord brought Joseph Smith and delivered to this book, and we haven't listened to this book, so now he has to send a spokesman, should be a great condemnation to us, and we should endeavor to repent the need of him to send some future spokesman for us to hear the Book of Mormon. In fact, later on in chapter 4, we will hear Nephi pour his soul out to us, and these kind of things come only from Nephi and through the Spirit. Someone trying to tell us what's said or do a commentary or even having some spokesman later date tell us that is sad, and we could not read this ourselves and pick the gospel out of it and feel the true spirit of it just by reading it. I strongly encourage anyone to read chapter 4, feel the great spirit and strength of Nephi. Nonetheless, it's not my job to read or my purpose to read that to you. What I will do is pick a few of the powerful things out of this chapter and explain them. In the beginning of this chapter, Lehi goes on to also give blessings to the rest of his family. And he says, "Inasmuch as ye shall keep my commandments, ye shall prosper in the land." We will hear this phrase over and over and over again. And the Lord repeats things to make a point. Again, when someone speaks them to you, it tends to annoy a person because they have to hear it over and over again. It is not the person speaking it, it is the Lord speaking it. Just like Nephi said to his brothers, it's not him speaking it, it's the Lord that's been training him to speak it. In this case, it's not me me giving a commentary speaking it. All I'm doing is rehearsing exactly what is in the Book of Mormon, and the Lord is putting that in the Book of Mormon and repeating it because we are not listening. It is the keeping of his commandments, and if we keep his commandments, we will indeed prosper. The prospering becomes a sign. If you want to prosper, then follow him, not Satan. If you want to prosper and enjoy your prosperity and the things you're given, then you follow the Lord and you'll have true satisfaction and joy in him, and not feel those terrible things of possession, covetousness, and greed that are associated with possession from the devil, and envy and many of the other things the devil has. But nonetheless, the point is, you will prosper in the land or physically if you will keep the commandments of the Lord. And we do this by seeking him personally and following him to personal revelation. Now again, Lehi is talking to the sons and daughters of Laman here, and then he'll talk to Lemuel, which he says the same things to. So therefore, he's talking to his grandchildren, and maybe even his great-grandchildren. And he says in verse 5, "I know that if ye are brought up in the way ye should go, ye will not depart from it." Now many have thought about that and said, well, if we raise our children in the way they'll go, then they'll not depart from it. There's a lot of truth in that. But we have to recognize also that Laman and Lemuel were raised in the way they should go, and they departed from it. So therefore, I guess we have to see that if they're raised properly and they do depart, it is through complete rebellion against God. And this is again why Laman and Lemuel became sons of perdition, because they had been raised properly and they had to rebel in the face of true knowledge. I just feel to impress upon you, therefore, in raising your children, if you raise them in the way to go, they will continue on it unless they become sons of perdition, which is not something to worry about and not something that we're to fear about. That's the extreme rare case. It's not that it's half of Lehi's sons became sons of perdition and half didn't. It's the extremely rare case that someone will deny Christ and go the evil route in the full face of the Lord. Nonetheless, he's even telling us, giving us the promise that for us, if we'll raise our children, that will be the way. But nonetheless, the important thing is he's saying, therefore, he's telling them that a lot of the sins of their children, so more specifically, he would like to speak directly to them in this case, and he says, therefore, because of the sins of your parents, therefore, that's why you're having these problems. Now, he's not completely going to condone all their sins, but therefore, I will leave a blessing on you, and that blessing is that in the latter days, you will in fact, your seed will hear the gospel, and they will come unto the Lord. Notice that this also implies why Nephi's seed were destroyed, or utterly destroyed, because Nephi had brought his children up correctly, and then they had rebelled. Therefore, that's why his seed was utterly destroyed. Now, we have to study that again and think about it. The only reason that I hesitate is that I worry that some are going to be fearful about raising their children. I think that in a personal blessing, a child by child, you are given the blessing that if you raise them in the way they'll go, they will continue to be followers of the Lord. Again, I say unless they rebel. But the burden is upon you to raise them in the way they should go. And I mean, the opposite thing of that is you do not, and the sin does come upon your head. Okay, enough of that. It might take some more pondering. In verse 12, then Lehi dies. And when he dies, he's left the presence that any father has the right to bless his children and to prophesy to them. And if we live up to our responsibility as a father, then we will actually get to prophesy to them concerning themselves and their and the future of their posterity. We're finished now with Lehi's life, and he's gone. And as we now move on to the next phase, we see that Laman and Lemuel are mad at Nephi, are angry with him. And why are they angry? Because Nephi admonishes them. Well, then Nephi says that it's not him admonishing them. He's not taking it upon himself. He was constrained, and in verse 14 he was constrained by the Lord to admonish him. And then we have to keep repeating this, that any righteous man does not desire dominion over his fellow man. He has a desire of love for his fellow man and desires to take his fellow man unto Christ so that they might feel the love of Christ. They do not have the desire to dominate and force and control any of their fellow man. And so as a righteous man, Nephi is constantly constrained to keep repeating, I was not doing this of my own. I was only acting as a messenger for Heavenly Father. And then he says that he has recorded all these things that he said to them so that others might learn by it. He recorded them in Scripture. And he says, in fact, he likes to go back and read them himself and ponder those Scripture. And he takes great delight in pondering Scripture. Again, setting the precedence for us that we need to ponder Scripture and study it, and that it should be a delight to our heart. Remembering that the wicked take these things to be hard because it testifies against them. But the righteous should enjoy reading Scripture, and it should be a delight to their heart. If you read Scripture and it's not a delight to your heart, then you know that you're not in tune with the Spirit and you have a problem, and that you need to repent and go begin to put your eyes single to the Lord and have a singleness to Him. Mostly the biggest problem is people begin to have a delight in hearing the precepts of man, and they want to go to church and hear what other men think instead of having men teach them of the Book of Mormon and Scripture and taking delight. In fact, usually when a man opens up the Scripture and begins to read in that, we begin to think, oh, this is dry, this is boring, here comes the boring part. Why is that? That means that one, ourselves, do not have a good understanding of Scripture, a good relationship with the Savior, so that we can understand what it means, and the speaker is not speaking by the power of the Spirit and magnifying these Scriptures to us. And then all of a sudden, as he's sitting there thinking about, well, how could I possibly want to dominate Laman and Lemuel? I don't want to do that because I am a man full of sin. And he goes into a great dissertation of his own sin, something that everyone should read, because it's a great dissertation for you to understand, how do I rate if Nephi can work as hard as he can, and even here at the end of his life, after going through everything he's went through, he can still feel the weight of his own sins and his own weaknesses, then how am I supposed to feel? Well, this is excellent to read for you to say, well, am I in tune with the Lord? Am I working with the Lord? Do I feel this way? And if I don't feel this way, then I need to humble myself again and begin to get my eyes single to the Lord so that I know where I'm going. But this is it's important that the true studier of the gospel read this so that they might be in tune with the proper feeling that they should have with respect to the Lord and their own sins. But again, where did this come from? It came from this idea that, that Nephi had been told to admonish his brothers. He was being attacked for being a sinful man, for wanting to dominate over him, and he doesn't want to dominate over him. All he wants to do is be a servant of the Lord, and he's only acting as a messenger because in his life, he's concerned about his own sins. And that's what he's concerned about. He's not concerned about their sins. What he's concerned about with them is that he loves them and he'd like them to feel the goodness of the Lord that he has. And that's what he feels towards them. He doesn't feel like, oh, gee, I need to go over there and start taking control of them and telling them how to correct their sins. He's not trying to do that. He's only acting as a messenger of the Lord, working on himself and showing love to his brother. And these are the kind of feelings we should have when we read this. In 20, he says that my God supports me, and he says my God has been my support, and he says he hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness. This means that through the wilderness, these afflictions, God has seen him through them. Meaning that in some cases, Nephi has felt some weakness in these afflictions, and not that he directly murmured against God. He had felt maybe persecuted, or he had felt that he didn't have the strength to continue, and some other thoughts that are not important for us to go through. But he had weakness during these afflictions, and let them get to him and in fact, during the affliction, he maybe felt anger towards his brother and let Satan push that along. But he says he said that God led him through these afflictions. And what did he do? Why did he lead him through them? He led him so that he would know that God was his support. See, during those afflictions, he kept his eye to God, and he kept going back to God, no matter whether he became angry at a time or how he felt, he'd keep going back to God. When he did, he learned that his true support was in God, and that's why God gave him his place to know where his support was. His support, again, was not in man. It was not in his brothers, his fathers, in the church, or in anything. It was in God, and he had to learn that. And then when he learned that it truly was his God was his support, then nothing in this world could possibly stand against him or cause him a problem. In 21, he said that God filled him with his love, and then by learning that God was his support, he had felt the love of God, and he had learned that this is the thing of greatest value. And again, no one could possibly give you a commentary explain that. This is something that you have to seek on your own and feel on your own. And once you feel that love, then you begin to determine that that is the thing of greatest value. In verse 22, he says that. He explains that God has been his protector. Well, that's important because we learn that God is his protector. Again, as we will continue to learn, Scripture tells us that God is our protector, our provider, and our progressor. And we have to believe these three things. All we're there doing is going unto him to keep his commandments. If we keep his commandments, he does these three things. Our job is to keep our eyes single to him and keep his commandments. In verses 23 and 24, he explained, Nephi says that he has given him knowledge. What is this knowledge? This knowledge is an understanding he can make the character change. What does it mean to receive knowledge? We start out with hope, and then we exercise our hope, and hope becomes faith, and through faith and works, we gain knowledge. And when we have knowledge, then we know for a surety. And what knowledge is it is that our character has been changed because it has gained knowledge. That is the meaning of being progressed. In verses 26 and 27, he still goes on to say that he talked about it being weighed down by his sin. And he says that says that he sins because he is weak. Well, we have to remember that if we were perfect, we wouldn't be here. And again, Nephi was still in existence, and he was still working. Well, then he wasn't perfect at this time, so he still had things to overcome. He was still in this life to learn how to repent, and that we, no matter what we do, and no matter how great we would seem to other men, as we read here, thinking that Nephi was a great man, We're not to be concerned with Nephi. We're to be concerned with ourselves and our own repentance. As Nephi shows here, he is still weighed down with his sins, and he still wants to work harder and harder to overcome his sins and to repent. And his sins are not grievous sins or big sins, but they're still small sins of the devil touching him and maybe making him want to be angry at Laman Lemuel, or force them to do good, or set up some rules to make things so they'll be better. But the devil keeps poking him with these bitternesses and these angers and these desires to force and control, and nonetheless he has not shred himself completely of these of the temptations from the devil. He says, in order to understand this, it's important that the reader read these things. I mean, it continues to get stronger in verses 28 through 31. And you read this, and you'll see if you're on the right track. Now, an important thing here is said as far as doctrine goes in verse 31. He says, "Wilt thou make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin?" And you see, it's him turning in, he wants to turn himself over to the Lord. It's his desire to turn yourself over to the Lord that makes the Lord your progressor, meaning that we know that we cannot progress ourselves. We do not understand ourselves. We do not know everything we need about ourselves to correct, or what experiences we need. We need to turn ourselves over to the Lord, have trust in Him that He will prepare the proper experiences for us. And again, that means that the Lord is our perfecter. Obviously, we don't have the capability to become perfect ourselves. We only get that if we turn it over to Him. And that's what Nephi is telling us here with great spiritual power, that we need to turn ourselves over to the Lord. Now, in verse 33, it says, "O Lord, will thou make a way for mine escape before mine enemies? Will thou make my path straight before me?" And that again says that God, that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is in charge of executing the plan of salvation, has a personal progression path for you. And Nephi wants this path. He wants to go follow the path of the Lord. The Lord has created a path for him, and he wants to go on that path. He's letting the Lord know that he wants to have this path. Again, we have our free choice, and he's letting the Lord know that, "Lord, I want you to set experiences up for me in the life, and to the degree that the Lord knows best to interfere in my life, if you want to say it in that manner, so that I can have the best opportunities I have to grow, and then teach me through the Spirit and through anything else all the things I need to do to become perfected." The important thing is that we turn ourselves over to the Lord, but we also the principle here was that He creates a personal path for each person to progress. And so we have to believe and desire a personal progression path. In verse 34, then again, he gives a great dissertation on trusting the Lord. And I would admonish everyone to study the word trust. What does trust mean? Trust has the connotation, when someone says, "Trust me," it means that it doesn't seem quite clear to us, or we're afraid, we don't want to do what it is, or we're apprehensive about things, and someone is saying, "Trust me." And so when you say trust the Lord, it means that you believe that you don't see it quite correct, and that you are afraid of this life, and that the way that the Spirit is telling you to go doesn't quite seem reasonable to you. And so therefore, the Lord is saying, "No, trust me." And so Nephi here is saying, put your trust in the Lord, and if you will do that, then He will lead you on the right path. Then you will have success. So don't even trust in yourself. Put your trust in the Lord. And not only make that clear, let me read verse 34. "O Lord, I have trusted in Thee, and I will trust in Thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh." Again, you will not trust man. You are not to go to church and think that your church leaders are going to lead you to the Lord. The second a man says, I will not lead you astray, he has led you astray, because he has implied that he is leading you, and that he can lead you to the Lord. No man can lead you to the Lord. All he can do is give you the experiences or give you some feeling of the Spirit or tell you some things or pass on some word from the Lord. The only one that can possibly lead you and in this life to perfection and back to your Heavenly Father is Jesus Christ, not man. And again, he repeats this over and over again, but we continue to want to go after the precepts of man and to follow other men. And so therefore, in this scripture, he continues on to say, "For I know that curseth it is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh." And then everyone say, "Well, what do you mean by the arm of flesh? He's just talking about the world or something." So therefore, he repeats, "Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man." Again, we make it clear as clear. Man is considered the arm of flesh. When we begin to think that men are our progressor and that that men are the ones that lead us back to our Heavenly Father, we have immediately made a mistake. We have to go to Jesus Christ personally, and we have to follow him through the Spirit. In verse 35, then Nephi continues on and says, My rock is Jesus Christ. It is my God. I will follow Jesus Christ. Because again, to us, our God is Jesus Christ, or the one that is in charge of the plan to lead us back to our Heavenly Father is Jesus Christ. And if we make him our rock, that is the only sure way to be guaranteed success. Again, it is not man, it is not a church, and it is not anything else. It is only Jesus Christ.